Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill. With me on the telephone is our state representative for District 54 in New Mexico, Jim Townsend. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you, Derek?
Doing great, and I appreciate your time calling in and giving us some information. We've seen in the news that Deb Haaland, our Secretary of Interior, has taken Chaco Canyon off limits to drilling and put a lot of people out of work. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, what the Secretary did, a New Mexico native, she issued a decree, you know, an executive order that will prevent drilling within 10 miles of Chaco Canyon. Now, what's interesting about that is, you know, this is just another impact that the Navajo Nation is going to take right on the chin. Over the last few years, we have lost the Four Corners Power Plant, we've lost the Escalante Plant down at Gallup. Those jobs in the coal mine are gone, and that's all because of politics. And what the Secretary did was he once again targeted the Navajo Nation. It's been estimated that the cost to the tribal members of this action is probably close to $200 million over the next 20 years. And I think it's also important to note that the Navajo Nation leadership has come out and opposed what the Secretary has done. So not only are many people in the surrounding areas taking issue with it, the Navajo Nation themselves, once again, are standing up saying, why are you targeting us? I mean, why? Now, there are a few people, apparently, that have, you know, got the Secretary's ear, and I think it's also probably interesting to note that I believe that people will look that I think the Secretary's daughter is a lobbyist, and that lobbyist is representing those environmental folks that are out there talking about this. So it's a conflict that she has that I think will come to light here pretty quick, but we all want to protect Chaco Canyon. There's no one that I know that is not proud of the heritage of New Mexico and certainly of Chaco Canyon, but 10 miles was a decision that was made without any studies, no public meeting, no science. They're just killing jobs of the Navajo people, and I will oppose it when it's done in this manner, and most people of New Mexico will oppose it.
Well, along with that, it looks like our New Mexico Land Commissioner has also banned new gas and oil leases. And I have to believe people who think, oh, that's great, when they go to buy gas at the gas station are going to see higher prices and then complain about it.
Yeah, that was very unfortunate. Again, an executive order, if a land commissioner has the authority for executive orders, but It was an order put out by her that decreed not only around schools, but a number of the institutions. And I tell you, that's going to harm a lot of people in New Mexico, not only those people that own surface, but own mineral rights around that. It's a taking that they're taking property, private property rights away from those people. And my goodness, all across New Mexico, Texas, California, of all places, you have wells today that have horizontal capacity that they are drilling 2 and 3 mile laterals. And so I think that was done premature, was kind of an off-the-hand type edict that probably should have had a lot more thought and science provided for it. Again, to my knowledge, there were no public meetings. I don't know of any science that's been applied to that decision other than it's a political science, and they decided the politics of it were good going into an election year, and I think that's going to backfire on them because New Mexicans in rural states like New Mexico spend a lot of money traveling, and when the price of gas goes up, it affects every home around our state, including mine and yours, and I don't think anybody appreciates higher fuel prices.
If the price of gas at the pump is $5 a gallon in November of 2024, I have a feeling that the environmentalists are going to lose the election.
Well, if the price of gas is $5 at that time, it will also tell you that a lot of New Mexicans' standard of living has been diminished for several months getting into there. And that's really what is sad for New Mexico, is most New Mexico families are really challenged right now. I mean, if you go and look at some recent polling, they'll tell you that the economy is on everybody's mind. And, you know, higher fuel prices just fuel that concern of the voting public. And I hope it doesn't go to $5, but I believe you're right. If it goes to $5, we'll feel it in the polls.
And here's the thing, Jim. I have no allegiance to the oil companies, but I don't want an inferior car. I can't wait 2 hours to charge my car, especially, like you say, in a rural area. We don't have chargers everywhere, but even if we did, if I have a station off the air, I can't sit and wait while I charge my car to go get the station back on. It's just not practical for me. I suppose, you know, if you live in a big city and you just drive around your town, that's fine. But there's so many other issues that go along with it, running the air conditioner in the car, playing the radio, using the internet and different things, all draws down those batteries. And again, I need something that works. I don't have time to mess around with new technology and wait for it to catch up.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think there are applications in metropolitan areas where they have excess power and it's economically delivered to those people that they may have a place. But in rural New Mexico, or in working New Mexico, where people are hauling load and going over tough terrain, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work out in the patch where people are working. It doesn't work on ranches across New Mexico where people are putting four horses in a trailer and trying to go several hundred miles where they can work. It is just impractical and it is inefficient. And, you know, we have a lot to do in order to get battery storage where it is economically feasible, technologically viable, before it can be applied to rural New Mexico or anyone working in New Mexico. Because, you know, I looked the other day, I think the Ford electric pickup is still in a recall mode, but I haven't seen any of those that can take a load and go 100 miles. And then you have the issue of, what about if you're in Mayhill, New Mexico, or Gallup, New Mexico, and you need to go to Albuquerque to the doctor in a hurry? Do you have the capacity to do that in a snowstorm? Do you have the capacity to go several hundred miles to get to a doctor? I think all of those are going to be real issues that New Mexico will have to decide on. And I don't think I see very many electric vehicles in southeast New Mexico, not because they are opposed to electric utilization in vehicles. It just doesn't work.
Well, and there's also the issue of the charging. So let's say you're just two-car family, and let's say you live in an apartment. Well, where do you charge the car? What if you have to park on the street? These things haven't been thought out very well.
No, they sure haven't. And our infrastructure across New Mexico is not ready for this new load. And if you take the conversion of all the BTU value of this gasoline and diesel that's being consumed in New Mexico and try to convert that to a kilowatt, it is a tremendous increase on our infrastructure. And quite frankly, we just can't do it. We don't have the ability.
PNM has already said that there's a possibility of blackouts because, as you mentioned earlier, they shut down the power plant in the Four Corners. So we may see blackouts or brownouts in the Albuquerque area. And so then you couldn't charge your car because you'd have no power. So there's all these issues. Why would they shut down these things before we have a replacement for them? It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And I mean, most of the debate that I've heard in the legislature has been centered around that exact topic. Is it's not that legislators are as a whole opposed to the utilization of electric vehicles. It's just that the technology does not exist, and it is inefficient, and it, quite frankly, is even more expensive on top of being inefficient. So I just don't think when you look at the full ramification of electric vehicles, batteries, the rare earth minerals that are required to do that, the infrastructure that's required in every home to power that. I mean, if you have a mom and dad coming home at 5 o'clock from a hard day It's in the heat of the summer. You got the air conditioners running. You pull into the garage. You got to plug into electric vehicles. I mean, it just doesn't work. Most people have 100 and 200 amp services in their house. They don't have the capacity to do that.
New Mexicans are beginning to feel the effects of some of the bills that were passed in our legislative session this year, specifically parental rights. And they're not happy. Jim Townsend and I will discuss that in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with Jim Townsend. He is the former minority leader of the House of Representatives in New Mexico and represents District 54 in Chavez, Eddy, and Otero counties. You see these things, of course, because you're up in the roundhouse during legislative session and voting. People are just starting to find out what was in HB 7, and they're not happy about it, and there's a referendum being set up. Apparently, New Mexico law allows, if you can get enough signatures, to put on a ballot to reverse some of these things that they've just overridden parental rights on children with abortions and transgender surgeries. It's nmbadbills.com, and people can go and sign the petition or print out petitions to get signed.
It's a hot issue all across New Mexico. I was in 2 meetings today about the referendum issue where people are calling, wanting to know more and more about it. There was a luncheon today in Artesia where there was probably 75 people in it. I do believe that parents all across New Mexico are beginning to become more and more involved. They're reading these bills. Parents do not believe that the state can make better decisions for their children than they can. They are appalled at legislation that takes them out of the decision-making for their own child. They're appalled that the school system that is ranked last in the nation now believes they have the wherewithal to help direct a child in a process of an early teenager, maybe not even a teenage person, that child can be helped and facilitated to go into a process that puberty blockers would be applied to irreversible decisions. And my goodness, Derek, you and I both know kids are not ready for those kind of decisions at that age. And it's unimaginable to me that someone would take a young man or woman and facilitate that without the influence of the parents in that decision. It's just crazy. And quite frankly, down here where I come from, I think there's probably going to be some really hard feelings. Somebody's grandson or granddaughter is taken off into one of those deals. I know a lot of granddads and grandmas that are going to get really upset. And I don't think anyone is going to be able to withstand the wrath of that, of those loved ones, if that occurs. And so I hope parents all across New Mexico are listening. I hope they read this. This is not Jim. It's not a Republican issue. It's not a Democrat issue. I mean, this is about parental rights. This is about mom and dad. And do you have the capacity? Are you the person that should help make those decisions for your child? And the answer is absolutely yes. You should. Parents should be involved every time, every step of the way.
I just have to wonder. I remember, of course, I'm involved with what happens in the state legislature. You obviously knew about it.
Yep.
But yet, people are just starting to find out about it now. I know there were people protesting these bills during the legislative session, but the outrage now, 3 months later, why didn't this happen before the bills were signed?
Well, there's 6 bills that are in this process of referendum. 3 of them in the House. I think HB 207 is just as bad, but they were debated long and hard in the House. There has been a lot of public outcry. There has been a group that have been trying to get referendum petitions approved through the Secretary of State for months, and they have finally got a petition out of Maggie that I believe she will still oppose in the end. I don't believe Maggie for 1 minute is going to recognize if there's 100,000 people or 180,000 people sign these petitions. I think Maggie will try to impose that these laws are for public peace and safety and are not subject to a referendum. I'm sure it'll go to the Supreme Court. There'll be a battle there. So sides will lawyer up, and we'll try to get a writ of mandamus through the Supreme Court. But it's really unfortunate, Derek, that any legislator, in my opinion, would carry a bill that takes the parent out of the real hard decisions of their own children. It's unfortunate, and quite frankly, I don't believe any New Mexicans will support that without regard to what the legislature's doing. Most moms and dads are going to be very appalled and have been. I haven't talked to a single parent that called me and said, hey, Jim, this is a really good idea. You shouldn't even call me before you take my child to a doctor to have irreversible procedures performed. Not one parent has said, I think that's a good idea. Every one of them, Republican, Democrat alike, have said, you got to be kidding me. That's horrible.
And yet the bills pass. And to be clear, when you mention Maggie, that's Maggie Toulouse Oliver, our Secretary of State in New Mexico. Yeah. Yeah. And that's New Mexico, badbills.com. Folks can go there and see what Jim's talking about. I'm talking with Jim Townsend, a representative from District 54 in New Mexico. And Jim, I appreciate your time today.
You bet. Thank you, Derek.
Joe Sandusky is just 22 years old, and he is the vice chair of the Republican Party in San Miguel County. And I will be talking with him next on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. With me in the studio today is Joe Sandusky, who is the vice chair of the San Miguel Republican Party. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Well, thanks for coming in and joining us on Inside New Mexico. Tell us a little bit about the Republican Party of San Miguel County.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Things are going really well in San Miguel right now. The party's actually getting organized. We've got a great team going. We're expanding very quickly, much more quickly than I would have thought. Just in my short time here, the average number of people attending our monthly meetings has actually doubled. I'm hoping that it'll double again by the end of the summer.
What are you doing to make that happen?
Well, we're getting speakers. Anybody, you get the lower level politicians from within the municipal jurisdictions, like our city councilors, stuff like that. We also get the county clerk. We had her and her deputy come and speak to us a couple months ago all about the voting process in San Miguel County, why the locations are where they are, how the process works. Super enlightening. We've also been able to bring in people from across New Mexico. Recently, we had the people who are running the referendum effort come up and speak to us. Mm-hmm. We had a full room. Everybody was pumped up. We got a ton of good things going from that, and the referendum effort is actually going fairly well in our county as well.
Isn't San Miguel generally blue?
San Miguel is beyond blue. I don't know what color that is, but it's more than blue.
Okay.
Yeah, we're at about 22% registered Republican. But the thing is, the people in San Miguel are just Republicans who don't know it yet.
Okay.
If you put a generic Republican and a San Miguel County Democrat in a room, you will find that they actually disagree on little to nothing.
They sound like the old style New Mexico Democrats. They were more moderate. They haven't gone progressive.
They are, yeah. San Miguel County, you know, our main towns are Las Vegas and Pecos. We also have like places like Villanueva, San Miguel Alvaro. These are very traditional communities. They're the New Mexico of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are most important to any New Mexican, particularly people in San Miguel County and Mora County, anywhere on the Sangre de Cristo Mountains range, God, family, community. And so as things get more extreme in Santa Fe as the political class in Santa Fe becomes more disconnected from the actual situation, the actual air about in Las Vegas and Pecos, the more people are starting to wake up and realize, what is this? What are we doing? The main reason why Democrats stay in power in San Miguel is our attachment to tradition, in a sense, in that it's always been Democratic. But as the Democratic Party moves farther away from our traditions in such a radical fashion, and as they begin to assault the family structure itself, as they've done recently, we saw this spring with the bills that got passed in Santa Fe, people are starting to reevaluate whether that allegiance to the Democratic Party is worth their family, worth their soul, worth their community.
I hear that a lot, that New Mexico Democrats say, I didn't change, the party changed.
Yes. It's a common sentiment for people who actually know what's going on. The first step to that is telling people what is happening in Santa Fe. For one, Santa Fe is not very transparent. The things that go on behind closed doors in the Capitol usually stay behind the closed doors in the Capitol. And we're the ones who are stuck with the effect of that. And so as we introduce people in our counties and in our communities to what's actually happening, the response is always shock.
You know, people generally don't have time in their daily lives to pay attention to what's going on in politics.
Yeah.
I get press releases and I see the stuff, some of the things they're doing. But if you don't have the press release, you don't have time to read it. And that's one of the reasons we do the radio show. All you have to do is listen and we can tell you what's going on.
Yes.
But you still have to listen. And so how did you happen to get involved in the Republican Party?
So it's actually kind of a funny circumstance. One day, a few months back, last autumn, I waddled on into the party headquarters in Albuquerque down here in the Rio Bajo. And I just said, here's who I am. I live in Las Vegas. I would like to get involved. What do I do? I knew absolutely nothing about party structure, how the interior of the party actually functions. And so I met Leticia Munoz, who is beyond helpful, and she connected me with my county party in San Miguel. I reached out to a few of the party officials within the county, started attending the meetings, and in January I was elected as vice chair of the San Miguel County Republican Party.
Wow. Now we know how you got involved with the Republican Party of San Miguel County. Tell us why you got involved.
It's purely for the love of my people. I thank God every day that I was born and raised here in New Mexico. The place and the people are so far beyond wonderful that I struggle to articulate my affection for them. And this grows with every single person I meet. My political approach is just one person at a time. And every person I talk to walks away thinking, hey, this isn't bad. The Republicans are not the boogeyman. We don't have fangs and horns and pointy tails.
No, but that's how your opponents portray you.
Yeah, let them portray us however they want. If we treat people with a genuine charity, that will speak for itself. They say it's almost a cliche that all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And I, for one, am unwilling to sit back and just watch idly while we destroy ourselves and our communities. And so there's that practical patriotic calling to action. But beyond even just a mere sense of duty, it's entirely a labor of love. I expect to profit nothing from this other than the benefit of my people as a whole. And I wish to just dedicate my entire life to the service and betterment of New Mexicans.
And something that's interesting about this, and the Republican Party really needs to more of, you're very young.
I am.
Compared to the other people in the party.
Yes, I'm 22. That's about half the age of the average attendee at our meetings.
And so that's what the Republican Party really needs to be doing, and apparently is, that you've got these values at a young age. I don't know how that happened, especially living where you do. But
purely by the grace of God.
And so you're getting people to come to events. I think that's all part of it, is being active. You know, it's one thing to have a county party.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to have events and let people know you exist.
Yes, it's funny that you phrase it that way, because that's the way I somewhat jokingly, but at the same time very seriously, talk to people. I say, hey, we exist. People usually laugh, but you need to tell them that, because for the longest time in San Miguel County, and this is not to disparage anybody that came before us, because I think some of our best Republican politicians were the ones who survived the party through that time where there was not much interest. But there's this general consensus in San Miguel, especially, that, well, if you're Republican, it doesn't matter because it's always going to be Democrat. And so there's a sort of complacency or apathy that this party that we have going now in San Miguel is not accepting.
That's a defeatist attitude. If you say that, it will always be Democrat.
Exactly. So we're not saying that anymore.
Yeah.
We're saying, no, these people are Republicans who just don't know it yet.
That's a good way to put it. And I think a lot of them would agree. And even some that can't bring themselves maybe to switch parties might still, when they go in little booth, vote for some Republicans that they agree with.
They do. Yeah, everything in San Miguel revolves very much around who you know in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a huge part of this is getting people in the community to stand up and say, here I am, I'm a leader in my community, we are not going to accept this treatment anymore.
That's what it takes, grassroots level.
It does, it does. Yeah.
So if folks are listening to us up in San Miguel County or Las Vegas, New Mexico, and they want to find out more about what you're talking about, and maybe they didn't even know there was a Republican Party in San Miguel. There's a Republican Party, by the way, in every county in New Mexico. So if I'm interested in finding more about the Republican Party in San Miguel County, do you have meetings people can go to?
We do. We have public meetings now with speakers and a lot of attendees every third Thursday of the month at K-Bob's Steakhouse in the back room.
Mm.
Great food, great people, great all around, and a heck of a way to spend your evening.
I've been talking with Joe Sandusky, the new vice chair for the San Miguel Republican Party of New Mexico. And Joe, I appreciate you coming in.
Viva Cristo Rey.
Que viva.
Thank you for having me.
If you've been listening to Inside New Mexico today and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, check out the webpage at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexico.gop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. I'm Derek Underhill, and I look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week on Inside New Mexico.